Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are here today, and we will have a special guest for you, Christine Weick, and our sister Christine. She's been all over the place. Since we last spoke with her, she's been to the Bohemian Grove. She's been to see the Pope. She's been at the Supreme Court when they were passing the marriage amendment, which... the marriage amendment so that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. I don't think so. And then she also was at the opening of a new, and they call it a church, but I don't know about that, but it's the Church of Satan. They're actually going public with their meeting place. So Christine was there, and she was holding up her sign, which she does. She goes to these different areas, and she has a sign with a testimony, and so she was there, and it's always good to get first-hand reports from people that are on the scene. And some of our listeners, I know some of our listeners, their listeners live all over the country, and we probably have listeners in different parts of the world. But if you have tips, if you have some tips that you'd like to, news tips or other tips, if you want to, you can email me, susan@propheticnews.com, and I will be happy to look at your information and to see what you have to say. And just like last week, we had a terrific guest. Oh, what a wonderful young man, Nate, and a former member of Rod Parsley's church gave us a firsthand testimony, and he had been there for 4 years. But it's encouraging to see these young people on fire for God. And so if you have any information, you can always email me, susan@propheticnews.com, and I'll be happy to look at it. God bless you. Hi, Christine.
Hello, Susan.
Yes, the lady of many adventures.
God's not finished yet.
So many stories to talk about, and
yes,
news events. Our reporter on the scene, and Christine should be on one of these so-called Christian networks, or even a reporter for one of these so-called Christian magazines, with all the news that she has to report being live on the scene. Because most
yes.
of the magazines and the networks don't send people out to report on these stories where Christine has been firsthand. But Christine, now recently you've been on the scene for the opening of what they call a church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Church of Satan. Now tell us about that.
Well, it was it's located in Old Town Spring in Texas. It's just outside the city of Houston. And they opened up on Halloween evening of all times, the Greater Church of Lucifer. And I went there with two others, rode with me, and we had a group there. It was a two-day event for the church. Friday before Halloween, they had their groundbreaking ceremony, and then the following day was their first official service.
Oh, my goodness. Now, is it an actual piece of property that they own?
Yeah.
And they put a building on it?
Yep, it's actually quite a unique area. You have to understand the spiritual demographics here as well. It's not just the location, it is about location. It is in Old Town Spring is a tourist area. The houses there have been converted into little shops. So it's very much a little recreational shopping town.
Yeah.
So there's quilt stores, there's candy stores, there's pottery stores, and most of the houses are all little stores. And the church is actually a small cottage. Don't think of it as your church. It's small, like you would say, a house church. And it's in a building that would probably be slightly bigger than your garage, if you can imagine. So.
Oh.
And it's on a street where people park on the street, and then there's a sidewalk where all the tourists can go up to your house and, of course, visit your business. Now, inside next to the church is a mystic. So she's, you know, a medium. She's a palm reader. I don't know what you would call her. She's... And across the street from this church was a... could sign up for ghost tours. And then kitty corner from that was a place that sold gems and minerals and crystals,
yeah.
Which all part of that new age idea of auras and bringing an energy into your home through stones. So can you understand here that the demographics of the area is there's a spiritual occultist area there. There's a demonic energy in the area. I actually did a little bit of a search on Old Town Spring, and it's an area where old Civil War were kind of in the, you know, the folk of the area. That old
yeah, you're
Civil
breaking War up a little bit.
Oh, I'm not in a good area here. I'm sorry. I'm in the mountains, and I'm at a retreat.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
right.
I can't get away from here. It's a half-hour drive to find good service.
Okay, then. You're just breaking up a little bit. It's not too bad, but...
Okay. Well, I'll do the best I can.
Yeah.
But the area here is demonic. The whole area has the spiritual aura of being demonic. So the church actually was set there on purpose.
Okay, so do they have other churches?
No, just the one.
Just the one.
But it fits the aura of the area. It fits
yeah.
the spiritual demonic of the area. When you
yeah.
have a mystic that's been there for, I think, 2-3 years, and then the ghost tours have been there for a while, this was an addition that was perfect to make the area complete.
Yeah. So how many people would you say they had in attendance at this event?
I'd say probably less than 50.
But they had that many.
Came and they went. There was a, you know, one particular service, but the church is just open. You can just go in and sit down in front of the idol of Baphomet and do whatever you want. There's no preaching at this church. You just do what you want. So there is a president there, but he doesn't preach. It just is kind of come in, do what you want. I mean, it's kind of like the lifestyle of the Satanist. You just do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. Do what they're saying, do what thou wilt or whatever.
Yes,
that's
do
what
thou
they
what
say.
Thou wilt. Right,
yeah.
Right.
So there's a statue in there of the devil?
Yep. Yes, a basement, which is the lead demon of hell. And it's also depicted on the sign through symbolism. There's a lot of messianic symbolism on their sign outside of the church.
Oh.
But it was a very interesting stand that day. One of my most unique stands. I had a sign that was 4 foot by 4 foot, and it was red and white. It was professionally made, and it read, "Your knee will bow, and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord."
Yeah.
That was my sign in standing against the church. And there was, on the first day, on Friday, closer to 5 o'clock, when they had their official groundbreaking, there was probably, I'm going to guesstimate, 200 protesters that showed up. So we definitely outnumbered the Satanists.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting part, Susan, is about out of 200, 180 were all Catholics. They brought Mary in the statue. And they all brought their rosaries.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking at this going, I got demon worship behind me, and I got idol worship in front of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I,
the
I
blind
like
leading the blind.
I'm like, where's my battle here? I mean, we had a common enemy that day. They had a lot of signs that were really good. One Catholic had a sign that said, "Lucifer, the eternal loser." And I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and then they had other signs like, "Mary will crush your head, Lucifer."
Yeah. You know about that scripture in Revelation.
Right, right. And, you know, and this is where I was torn between, do I minister to the Catholics against what they're doing wrong, or do I minister to the Luciferians for what they're doing wrong? And it's like, in fact, a couple street preachers were heckling the Catholics.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, guys, this is not the right place for this. But at the same time, the Catholics were wrong, too. I mean, it was so strange. To see.
Yeah, well, the Catholics always try to masquerade as Christians. They want to come out and they want to masquerade as the one true church and as Christians. So, yeah, I could see it. They call us Protestants. They call us Protestants, and they call themselves Christians. But no, we're Christians. We're Christians.
It was very strange to see the Catholics basically against the Protestants. And the Luciferians are standing by their church watching the street preachers heckling the Catholics. And, you know, and I'm just thinking, okay, look, we have a common enemy here. You know, we have to pick our battles today.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult. And I believe the street preachers that were talking against the Catholicism had their place. I mean, when they brought the idol up, they had a 3-foot statue of Mary that they had on a board, and they had their robes on, and they had about 6 men carrying this idol on a board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and they're doing all their chanting, and they're doing their rosaries, "Oh, Hail Mary,
oh, yeah,
full
yeah.
of grace." Thinking, oh, my Lord.
I bet you never saw anything like that before, right?
I'm like, and then I got, you know, one street preacher going against Catholics. The other street preacher was turned around going against Luciferians. And I'm just like, the whole bunch is going to hell.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because one's preaching a false gospel. One's worshiping idols for sure. And it's demonic, really. The Catholic Church
yes.
is a demonic organization. So they were kind of like feeding each other. And, what a display.
But there was one episode. The mystic came out about probably 15, 20 minutes after I was standing there, and she immediately did not like me. I could tell already we were going to have an issue with her. And she told me I had a bad aura, which I thought was
She tried to intimidate you. That's what witches do.
Oh, yes. And she was a rather large woman, and she come out with her smoke, her spells, and she was swinging this chain with a lantern full of smoke, and she was swinging this incense through us, walking
around. The
pope
does that too. He
swings
his incense.
Yes. And I told her, I said, you know, what else to do? It's not going to work. I said, you know, you can just go ahead and just put that away. And I said, it's not going to work on any of us. We're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She goes across the street to the Catholics, and she starts swinging her smoke through the Catholics. And one lady comes out, starts sprinkling holy water on her. And it was like, it was just hilarious to see two demonic entities. One is spreading smoke. The other one is trying to douse the smoke with holy water. And the mystic is dancing around as sprinkling holy water. And it was just, oh, Lord, just forgive them. I just, what is going on here?
Yes, yes. They know not what they do, for sure.
Exactly. And she was confronted by the police later, the lady with the smoke, and said, do not do this. Stop it.
We did not appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, and then there was a lady with anointing oil. I mean, she was a pastor from one of the local Pentecostal churches. And she had anointing oil, and she was pouring it on the satanic sign. And this is when the leader of the satanic church came right out and said, and, you know, and the police detained her for doing it. And
she shouldn't have done that.
I mean, this is where we have to be wise as serpents.
Sure.
They got that church.
That's their property.
Legally.
Yeah.
It is. They got that church there legally. They went through the court system, or the county commission and the city commission legalities, and got the permit to open the church. And this is where I said to a reporter, the reporter, you know, asked me, what's your purpose for being here? And it's like, well, I love the Luciferians. I says, it's not like I hate them. I hate this place. I hate who they worship, because that is an enemy of God. But I love these people to tell them, hey, you're either going to bow now on your own willingly to choose Jesus Christ as Lord, or you're going to do it going into hell for your choices here. I says, that's my reason for the sign. You will either worship now Jesus Christ as Lord, or you're going to do it later.
Yeah.
And I says, it's either one. I said, you're going to be doing it. This, when you do it, is going to be your eternal destination.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he says, is there anything else you want to say? And I says, yes. This is what we get for freedom of religion in this country. And I said, look at behind me now. We have a Church of Satan, freedom of religion, and that has just backfired on us. We have allowed the freedom of religion in this country to the point where we now have a Church of Satan opening, and they have out. And I wonder if our founding fathers ever meant for that to happen 200 some years ago. I don't believe they would have ever thought in their mind that a Church of Satan would open under that constitutional right. They twisted it. Satan has hijacked it and twisted it to now we have these mosques, we have Hindu temples, we have all these pagan religions coming in and setting up shop, when in the Old Testament, God made it very clear that was never supposed to be allowed.
Well, they're setting up shop, but it only makes our job. We just have to do our job as a church to evangelize these people, because they're not, the fact that there's probably always been a Church of Satan for eons, but they hid it. They mostly hid it, and so now that they're actually coming out in public.
And where is the church now? I'm sure was in, I bet you, 100 years ago, if a mosque tried to set up shop in a small town in Tennessee, the people would be so up in arms about it that it would never get past the first hurdle. And I believe the Church of Satan would never be allowed either. I say 50 years ago, a Church of Satan would never have been able to be opened because the people were strong and hurt.
We're in a strange time, yeah.
Yes. We're in a time of complacency, tolerance, and love, 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 love.
And
I think that's another word that Satan has hijacked. I believe the word love has been hijacked to the point where the word discipline and judgment and tough love is no longer something that we want to talk about.
Well,
we have to tolerate
everybody.
Yeah. And God in his love does not tolerate everybody.
Yeah, he didn't tolerate Ananias and Sapphira. He didn't tolerate Herod. There was plenty of things. Yes, there was plenty of things. He didn't tolerate Sodom and Gomorrah. So, yeah, that's very true. But I know as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, just the fact that you were there, you were a testimony, and you were doing your job as an evangelist to be there for those people. Did anybody approach you with a conversation?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. The president of the Luciferian Church came out right when I got there. I was the first one there, and I got there late in the morning on Friday, and he was just beginning to, well, actually what had happened is somebody had cut part of a tree limb down in the night, and it fell onto the church and poked a hole through the roof.
Terrible.
So he was there for maintenance, to get that fixed, because it was raining. And he come out, and my back was to him because my sign faced the road as people were driving by.
Yeah.
And I was also by the sidewalk. And he comes out, and he says, "I don't want you standing here. You're blocking my sidewalk." And I said, "Sir, I'm not blocking your sidewalk. This is a public sidewalk. I'm allowing plenty of room. I know my rights. If you feel that I need to move, you're going to have an officer tell me." And so, which he did. He ended up calling the police, and nothing happened. I know my rights where I can stand.
Yeah.
So he says to me, because my back was to him, he goes, "Well, what does your sign say anyway?" And I thought, wonderful. I turned my sign around so he could read it, and he read it, and all he did is went, "Nice," and walked away. So he read it. He had his warning from me. Your knee will bow, and someday your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He read it.
Yeah.
Whether or not he understood it, I know he did, because most Luciferians are from Christian families, or they do read their Bible, or have read their Bible. They have just become apostate. They're just so rebellious against God, and almost rebellious against something they don't want to believe in. It's strange. They don't believe in God. Some do. They have, there's different factions of Luciferianism, but yet they know deep inside there's a truth that is in there. It's just that the demon rebels against it.
Yeah, because God says he puts eternity in men's hearts, so they it's there. But like you said, some people, they totally turn their back on God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they become reprobates. So, but then there's some people, the fact that you sowed the word of God into his heart that day because he read it. It was God's word. And he had to, when he was reading it, he had to think about it. So it went in. It could have gone right back out, but it's there. That seed
was
sown.
Well, I think it was a warning to him. So when he does stand before his maker, if he has not come to the Lord before he passes away, he will have that reminder. This will be coming back to bite him, as he was warned.
Yeah.
You know, I had some great conversations. I stood there for the first day. We were there for maybe 9 hours the first day, and then the second day I stood for about 4 hours. It was raining in the morning. There was another group of preachers that came. One came with a beautiful cross, a very large cross, which he had wheels on the bottom so he could drag it, the bottom behind him. So it looked like he was carrying a cross.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful sign on it. And they did a lot of yelling. And I don't yell. I just stand with my sign.
Yeah.
And I was the one that had the conversations with them. The other street preachers were the ones yelling.
Yeah.
And I had to rebuke one street preacher who kept getting into a sexual issue with somebody, calling them names. And I'm like, you know, and they were, it was to the point where I was afraid the police had to become involved because they were three of them and one of him, and it was to the point where they were yelling at each other. And finally, I interceded, and I actually was on the side of the other people, and I says, look, I says, we're not going to draw them to Christ by yelling at them and calling
yeah.
them names.
Yeah.
I says, this is going to stop right now. I says, you're standing right next to me, and I'm hearing this hate coming out of both mouths here. You know, and of course, he's like, well, I'm telling them the truth. He had a big old sign that said, you know, adulterers, fornicators. His sign said truth. It
yeah.
did. Fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, gamblers, Luciferians will go to hell was his big sign, you know. And it was, you know, to the point, I'm like, you know, there's got to be a method here of preaching the gospel. Yes, John the Baptist yelled, repent, repent, repent. I agree. But I have found that it's much better to have a conversation with somebody and draw them to you and talk rather than yell at them and shove them away. However, if God laid that on their heart to do, I cannot correct God.
Yeah.
So if God laid it on that street preacher to fingers and call them out on their sin to the point where they came across the street and yelled back at him in his face, oh well. But the Luciferians are standing back and going, look at the haters. They really hate us. And that's where I have maybe the mom in me that says, look, son, you're screwing up, but what you're doing is wrong. And I had some good conversations with people who were Christians, weren't Christian, called themselves Christians, that wanted to go into the church to see what it was. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with this? I said, you cannot do this. I said, why would you even want to go see what they have in there?
Yeah.
I said, stay away from this. Have nothing to do with this.
Stay
yeah. here. You know, and I had a good conversation with one. And she got upset with me, even though I told her, like, I'm speaking to you now, when I said, look, why would you want to put the Lord God to a test and just be curious as to what they are doing?
Yeah.
Said, why are you here, lady? Why did you take their material? She had their material in her hand. I said, why would you do this? Why would you provoke the Holy Spirit like this? Why? You know, and then she got all defensive in that. Well, that was her decision. But I had a chance to talk to her. And, you know, and I talked with the security guard of the place.
Oh.
You know, and we had a lot of good conversations. I talked with a couple of girls that were all dressed in black and black makeup and just say, you know, why are you in there? That's how I started the conversation. Why do you go in there?
Yeah.
You know, why, you know, choose today whom you serve.
Yeah.
So we're not serving Satan. I said, there's no middle ground, people. You either choose God or you choose Satan. I said,
well, that's how deceived they are. They're going to a so-called church of Lucifer, and they're not serving Satan when you...
yeah, that was their big deal. We don't
yeah, that
Satan.
Doesn't make that doesn't
and
make
said,
any
look
sense.
I said, your T-shirt. I said, you got the devil right on your T-shirt.
Yeah.
Come on here. Don't tell me that you don't...
Yeah,
I
and
said, yeah,
another thing they say, too, is, like, the lady that was putting the spells on you and whatever, they say, we don't do... a lot of them say, we're white witches, or we don't do black...
Oh, she said that she uses the name of Jesus to talk to the dead. She's, you know... She
oh,
says,
yeah,
well,
while
I'm
she's
Christian,
cursing you.
Me.
While she's cursing you, right? While she's putting spells on
you know, and I'm just like...
Well, you know the devil's a liar, yeah. Yeah, well, we know
yeah.
you're a liar.
Wow. And, you know, of course, she's trying to defend her actions as being good. You know,
yeah.
Said, well, I'm being good. I'm, you know, I'm helping people in their direction. I'm helping people on
yeah.
their path and on which way to go. And I says, in the Old Testament, lady, I says, you would have been stoned.
Yeah.
I says, that's how serious God took your occupation, because you were a cancer to the people of Israel, because what you were doing was something that could infiltrate and spread among his holy people.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't like that at all. But,
no, I'm sure,
you know,
I'm sure she was fuming.
But, you know, to say that I changed her mind, oh, absolutely not. I'm sure she went back into her little place more convinced than ever that she was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's always hope for some of these people, and because we were once lost. And I remember Christians witnessing to me, and I thought, they have a lot of nerve telling me I'm messed up. And I went my way. But it stuck with me because it bothered me. How dare they say that to me?
Well, and that's part of the love. It's almost
yeah.
like, do I hate these people so much that I don't tell them that they're on the wrong path?
Yeah.
Do I hate them that much that I would not tell them the truth that there is a hell?
Yes.
Now, you got to remember, most of the Satanists in there are very well aware that they're going to hell, and they want to go there.
Yeah.
The difference between other things. You know, they want to be with their Lord, Lucifer.
Yeah.
They want to be in hell. So they think it's perfectly fine. And it's like, do you understand that this is just a torment that you're going to be getting and you don't get out?
Yeah.
You know, once the door's shut, it's locked on the outside, guys. It's no party. It's not a party for very long.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the deception. They know there's a hell. They know there's
mm-hmm.
a hell. And so maybe some of them don't, or they say they don't. They don't believe in any kind of life after death. I've heard some of them say that. So they
mm-hmm.
don't believe in a heaven or a hell. But really, what they really believe, I guess you really wouldn't know unless you were in some of their inner circles or whatever, because they're not going to tell you the truth about what they believe or what's really going on.
Right.
You only
and,
get bits
and one
pieces.
Of them, you know, when the president came on to the news, I seen the news report when he came on there, and he goes, you know what, we are not worshiping Satan. We do not sacrifice children and animals. And I believe that. I can't say that church had a sacrifice place there, but I can guarantee you there's somebody that would go to that church that would believe in doing that.
Yeah.
And of course they would have their Day of the Dead or whatever, you know, the winter solstice, that type of thing. And there would
yeah.
be somebody who goes to that extreme and wouldn't do that, because we do know that Satanists have been known to sacrifice animals. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
absolutely. That's
yeah.
part of the shedding of the blood that, you know, Satan demands as well. It's all that extreme.
Yeah.
And, hey, I probably would say the majority of them would never take a cat and sacrifice it on the altar, let alone a small child. But there probably is one who would.
Oh,
know,
yeah, there
and
probably
that's the
are.
Dangerous one.
Yeah,
that's
there probably
the
are.
One.
And those are, I've heard of people saying that they take these satanic books into their house. Christians, I've heard Christians say that. They take these books and they read them or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want that stuff in my house. I remember one time I got the book from the Masons, their dogmas, and I can't remember the exact title of it, but the one that from Albert Pike, and it just gave me the creeps. I had to get rid of it because it was so creepy. It was so demonic, and it was so obviously satanic that they were really talking about the devil, that Masonry had really didn't have anything to do with God or the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing with their stuff. I'm okay knowing a little bit about it, but I'm not that curious about it to find out, to read their books, like you said, or to go inside their building or anything. You know, that's something we just need to stay away from, because there's no sense in feeding on that, getting involved in those curious arts and being that curious about it. But as far as, yes, having conversations with these people, witnessing to them, trying to reach out, I mean, that's what the Lord would want us to do. And just the fact that you were there, and it irritated them that you were there. And it might have irritated some of them enough to examine themselves. And even I know in my case, I was so irritated with Christians that I was even reading the Bible to prove them wrong. And it's funny how that word works, though. It gets inside of you and it starts taking over.
That's it.
But so then what would you say then was your best moment at the opening of the so-called Church of Lucifer?
I think it was maybe when I was able to be on the local TV channel. And it popped my mind that morning. We have been duped a long time ago with the freedom of religion, that it got twisted. Somehow, somewhere in the Constitution, it wasn't made clear enough as to what our founding fathers meant. However, I've been made clear probably in the last year that our founding fathers were Freemasons. And I kind of wonder had Satan used them to make it to the point where we are at a situation today where our freedom of religion is not meant for the Christian as a benefit. It's meant for the devil to create institutions that Christians go in and get deceived. I don't know. And that's where I had mentioned to that TV reporter, it's freedom of religion, and this is what we get. And I pointed to the church behind me. And they did take that, and they ran that little excerpt on the news.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it blew my Facebook up. I mean, the comments on my Facebook page, let alone all the haters that came on my Facebook, going, how can you say that freedom of religion is bad? How can you say that? And I says, because look what just happened. We have a Church of Lucifer that opened up. Now, I gotta admit, there are other Churches of Lucifer that have been open for a while already. This is not the first time.
Yeah.
This is the first time for, I believe, for Texas, which, again, unbelievable. But then again, I had a local come up to me who supported the church and said, you're way too late, lady. We've had this store, that store, that store here for 5 years or more. And he's right. Why didn't we say something when the mystic came in? Why aren't we saying something when an occultic bookstore comes in?
Yeah.
See, this is how the devil works. He just works at these little tiny increments. So when we get a whole Church of Satan open, people are like, well, what's the big deal? You should have been voicing your opinion long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. It's just like the whole issue recently with the Planned Parenthood thing where, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, people would have been absolutely shocked at the selling of baby body parts and these kind of things. But it didn't. It just kind of came and went. The whole story, and even the fact that people weren't outraged that they didn't defund Planned Parenthood. I looked at that situation and I said, well, it's too late. And it's just up to the church, and especially the remnant church that's not going to bow the knee to these things that are going on. It's up to us to do our job and to preach the gospel. And we can't count on the legislators and the government to make the changes, because it's only the preaching of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ that can change these people's lives. So we've got our work cut out for us, obviously. And then you went, you were on the road following Pope Francis.
Yes, and that was another interesting.
No, that is
him.
Another great story of yours.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I've been waiting for this for years. Oh, I mean, I've always believed that the Pope would be the Antichrist, or a Pope would be. And this one particularly seems to fit. If people just read Bible prophecy and put him into the picture, and you see how he is fitting as a very unique Pope, that he is so political. And he's involved with this whole climate change idea. Doesn't he have enough to do at the Vatican?
Yeah.
Where he's got to get involved in the weather.
Yeah.
You know? And if he reads his Bible, he will understand that we don't destroy the world in the end. God does.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like no matter what we do, it's going to burn up with the fervent heat anyway.
Yeah.
So there's nothing we can, yes, we can be a little bit more responsible, I agree, but my goodness, no. This is God's got this way ahead of time. And I followed him ever since he came into town. So I was with him for, not with him, but I followed him through the three cities. And I had a big yellow sign. And the yellow sign was, could the Pope be the Antichrist? And I tell you what, I bet you a million people, if not more than that, seen that sign.
Yeah.
I mean, it went through. Of course, people took pictures like crazy of it. And I had a lot of different comments. Some people were like, wow, never thought of that. And that was the purpose I was there, get people to think. It was a question. Could the Pope be the Antichrist? And then on top of that, it was people saying, I believe he is. And a lot of Seventh-day Adventists were out there ministering. They're probably the biggest tract and people out there putting out their idea. I was surprised at that. The Seventh-day Adventist Church was huge presence in all three cities. Their literature littered everything. I mean, they had more literature out there than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then there was many of them that got within an inch of my face and said, no. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm just making you think.
Yeah, they have their own strange beliefs.
Yeah, but I tell you one thing about the Pope thing that really solidifies it for me, other than seeing everybody worship him. Oh, my goodness, the masses, people, walkers that walked for miles, maybe 1 or 2 miles, just to see him. And they have walkers and canes to see just a glimpse of the Pope. And when I never got close because I had my sign, and they did not even allow any flags with sticks attached. No selfie sticks. This is how security was so tight. There was a number of us. We never even got close.
Yeah.
Because my banner is supported with some plastic tubing. So I wasn't allowed near through the security. And it was... I think what solidified it for me that I believe I am right is Jesus made a statement in John 5:43. I don't know if you got your Bible there, Susan, if you want to read that.
John 5:43?
John 5:43.
Okay, let me
and
go
this
there.
Was a prophecy that Jesus made, and he's not talking about John the Baptist here. So that's, you know, let's just take that right now. That's not the context of what Jesus is talking about.
Okay.
I'll let you get to that, and I'll let you read it.
Okay, John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
Now, Pope Francis stood at the UN, and his opening statement was these exact words. People can go ahead and get the transcript of his speech. He said, I come not today as Pope, but in my own name.
Oh.
And that, to me, sent goosebumps down my arms. And I thought, this, to me, was a prophecy Jesus made. You don't accept me, but there's one coming, and him you will receive. And to see three cities shut down for this man, a man, no other dignitary in all of the world has this ever been done.
Yeah.
For a man who is supposedly a church person. Our separation of church and state went out the window that week.
Yes.
When you have Congress and Boehner weeping because the Pope is there, when you have the worship of a man who is a representative of Christ, accepted and loved, I have an issue.
Yeah, it must have really sent chills up and down your spine there to see the multitude of millions of people that came out for this man. They bordered on hysteria trying to touch him, and if they did get to him and touch him, they went into some kind of a demonic thing where they were crying.
I was only able to get, I'd say, within a quarter of a mile at the closest. I could see the Popemobile just barely as he was going through the streets. But you should hear the screaming. The screaming. It was like a touchdown at the Super Bowl times 10.
Yeah.
I mean, the screaming as he went by.
Yeah.
And you, I could see the top of the Popemobile because I was on a hill. This was amazing. I always ask the Lord, Lord, put me where I can be seen. Because, you know, remember, I'm in a sea of people. So I actually had a bracket that put my sign up above my head. So my sign was up above everybody's head. But there was a day where it was a little windy, and it was difficult for me to control the sign because, it's like a sail, a little bit of wind
comes along, and
I'm struggling with it. And I was actually outside of the Washington Monument. And the Washington Monument sits on a little hill. There's a hill.
Yeah.
And people were sitting on that hill because they could see down towards the parade route. And that's when I could see a tiny little Popemobile as he traveled around the National Mall. We could see that. If I had binoculars, I could probably see his face.
Yeah,
Was, really quite a far. It was about a quarter of a mile away. And I was up on that hill with the sign. And when he was done and he moved on to his next area, all those masses of people had to exit my way past the Washington Monument. And here I'm sitting on a hill with a bright yellow sign.
Yeah.
And you won't believe, and I'm watching the crowd, okay, how many people walked by and I could see were in the distance pointing a finger. Because you can see my sign from a good distance away because of the lettering is quite huge. And they're pointing, and I can see people getting their cameras out, taking a picture. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want this to get into their mind. Is this guy up? Could this be it?
It's very alarming. It was very alarming to me to see really how many millions of people came out to worship this man.
Yeah.
And it does remind you of how the Antichrist will be very charismatic, which I don't really find Francis charismatic. But the Antichrist will be very charismatic, and because he's not a good speaker. He really is not eloquent at all
his speaking. No, he kind of reads everything, and he has this monotone,
very boring.
Like a purring odor. Kind of
it's the same thing with they have people interpreting for him. Even those people have that same kind of monotone. It's very strange.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's very. All of it is very. I found it very alarming to see
go ahead.
The worship of this man who really, in my opinion, is boring and dull, and he didn't really say anything. He wasn't really saying anything.
Well,
it didn't make sense.
Jesus was a failure at the end of his life on the cross.
Yeah.
He says stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he could have said so much about abortion. He could have said silly with family. And all he talked about was global peace and unity.
Yeah, yeah, the one world government.
And this is one world order.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, it was like a primer. To me, it was like a primer of what's to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I believe he will be a huge voice in this whole, and we have been coming up, I believe, is it a few days from now? If not, it already happened. I think it's maybe it's today, Susanna. They're talking about the climate change issue in Paris with the UN. And they're expecting to have a deal that all nations are signing. And I've seen on the news that President Obama is there, and he may be signing this, and Congress is up in air because that has to go through Congress first. And he's going to bypass Congress again, just like he did with the UN deal. Remember, this climate change thing just might be the one thing that unites the world, because everybody has to deal with the weather.
Yeah.
So
well, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. I'll be looking for the news on that. I did have a question here in the chat room, because I know you don't have much more time, but that they wanted to know about the Bohemian Grove.
Yes. That was my stand in July. Right after the gay marriage thing, I went from Washington, D.C. to Monterey, California. And the Bohemian Grove, again, was a very unique stand. I stood there for 10 days. With my with no limit here, it was 15 days, almost a little over 2 weeks with my sign. I had a picture of the owl. Now you got to have people probably study this to know what I'm talking about. For 143 years, in this campground, this area is 2,700 acres of campground for the elite. Only the rich and famous can go here. You're talking the presidents have been here. I thought for sure I seen George Bush drive past me and wave. I wish I would have had my camera ready, because I know that was him in a black Mercedes.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, you know, are flown in, the CEO of Walmart, all that type of people are there.
So did you recognize anyone that was going in besides Bush?
No, because I'm not politically motivated on that.
Yeah.
They follow celebrities. Most of them are celebrities, music people. But like I said, I did see that George Bush looked like, I will say I'm 95% sure that was him. Just the fact that he waved at me like the way he did.
Yeah.
But I stood at the gate, and right at the gate where they had to go past me, they passed within, you know, 4 or 5 feet of me. And on my sign was a picture of the owl, the huge stone owl. It's 40 foot tall. And on Saturday, one day out of the entire year, they have a sacrifice to this owl. I'm not kidding you. They have a literal sacrifice, a ceremony to get wisdom. You can Google this. It's been going on 143 years.
Yeah.
And I had that picture of that owl in its sacrificial mode, and it said, "Thou shalt not worship Moloch." And I passed out, I don't know how many tracts about the Moloch idol and about the worship of a god of wisdom. But I also had in with it the daily bread. I had a church give me a whole bunch of daily breads.
Yeah.
And it was so neat, because I was standing there. I think my most the most neat experience was I was standing there and a Rolls Royce pulls up. And this was probably my fifth day in. Rolls Royce pulls up. There was two men in the car. The passenger window rolls down, and he says, I see you're passing out literature. We're seeing what's – can you have any more of those Moloch cards? And I said, here you go. It was starting to get around inside. There's a woman passing out stuff about the idol. And most of these people had no idea what was going on. No idea.
Yeah.
And what was the neatest thing is the head of security befriended me. He brought me lunch every day. Now,
aww,
I would have never thought that the head of security of the Bohemian Grove would meet me. He did, I think there was 2 days he missed bringing me lunch. But he brought me lunch every day. And I know they kept an eye on me for fear that I would run in.
They were watching you. Oh, yeah.
But I had no intention of doing that. My intention was to give them information and to spread the word of God there. And at the end, I ended up buying him a Bible. And I had some friends that helped pay for it. They're wonderful help friends. And I bought a very nice leather-bound Bible from Family Christian Bookstores. And he took it. And I was able to minister to him for, you know, I'd say a good 12 days each day. A few minutes as he brought me lunch. And I would always come around to, you know, where your soul at, Tony? Where's your soul at? But as soon as he got that Bible, I had 3 days left to stand, and I just felt so strong, get out of there. Go. Time to go. Get out. And this is where, and I fought it for about 2 hours. Finally, it just became so overwhelming. Get out. Go. Leave. Time to go. That I've got to listen to this. And I wondered if the whole time I stood there, it was to minister to Tony and to have him take that Bible.
Yeah.
He was a former CIA operative, and I don't know. It was the strangest, one of the strangest feelings I ever had to get out now, leave, time to go.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the stand was just meant for Tony.
I don't know.
That's not for me to say. Or maybe it was the two men in the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
You know? But I did have one Christian that pulled up or said he was a Christian. Oh, man, then, oh, I tell you what, it is really, it was fun to see the cars driving, you know, Maseratis, the Teslas, one Rolls Royce. There was only one of those, but all fancy, fancy cars, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun to see that, too, because these are cars I don't usually see.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
true.
These are the billionaires.
Well, you were in California too, but how
right.
How many cars were coming in there? Would you say?
Oh man, now you got to remember, a lot of them did not take my material, but they read my sign. I bet maybe 4,000 people were in attendance of this place.
Oh,
it's a huge thing. They say 4,000 people attend, and there's about 1,200 workers.
Oh.
So these kids are paid $2,400 for the 2 weeks. So $1,200
wow.
a week. And those are just the lower people. And they're being groomed as well. Got a chance to talk with a few of them, and a lot of them didn't want to even be seen talking to me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I know they're watching me.
Yeah.
And I know they're listening, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I had guards were everywhere around me.
Yeah.
But I had one Christian that came and walked by. A lot of the men walked because they take their walks, you know, in the mornings, and I was there. And he says, you know, I'm a Christian. He says, we don't worship this owl. He says, there's not even an owl in there. I says, sir, there's an owl in there. I says, look at my sign. It's the picture of it. He says, I've never seen it. He says, there's no owl in there. What are you talking about? You're crazy. Right about he pulled up to bring me my lunch. And I says, Tony, I says, tell this nice gentleman that there's a huge 40-foot owl you guys have a ceremony to. Tony goes, yeah, there is. And the guy looked at him. He goes, what? And that's when I realized that not everybody that goes in there knows what goes on.
Yeah.
That there's levels of people in there. Just because George Bush is in there, or maybe President Obama, does not mean that you get to meet him just because
yeah.
you're in this campground. Oh, no, there's separate camps for everything.
I see.
And I tried asking Tony about this, but he would not talk to me about it. He said, nope, he's not going to give you that information.
Yeah.
I said, okay. You know, and it's just a weird, strange place. And, again, a spiritual place there.
Yeah.
Why in the world are there educated, rich men from good bloodlines, you would say, why would they go and have a sacrifice to a stone owl? Why? Why would they do that?
Well, because they want to rub shoulders. That's it. You see people doing that. They take pictures with somebody and then they put the picture out like they know the person or people do these kind of things. Sometimes it's the ego or whatever.
Oh, definitely.
They want to be seen.
And to be a member of the Bohemian.
Yeah, to be a member.
Oh, my goodness, that is like.
Yeah, I was there with so and so, and yes,
exactly.
That's a lot of these. The way people think when they're in the world is who they could rub shoulders with.
And I believe that works with Freemasons too. The ones that come in have no idea what goes on at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is part of the grooming process. As they pick the better and the best, and as they work themselves up, they get more and more wrapped into it to the point where they can't get out.
Well, that's true.
They
like you said, it's part of the grooming process because they watch them, and then they see if they're ready. They can tell by talking to them and watching them that they're ready for the next level of whatever it is they're going to be indoctrinated into. So, yeah, definitely.
All right,
I think.
And I've got to break off. I've got to be with my group now. So
I thank you so much.
Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, great to hear from you, Christine. And
you
thank you
and
so much.
And everybody, keep your prayers up for both Susan and me, I don't know what my next job is, but I'm sure it'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
All
well,
right.
It's always interesting to follow
me.
Your posts on Facebook, that's for sure.
Thank you again. Keep
up with you. God bless you, sister. Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That's our program for today. And like Christine said, she is on a retreat. So she is retreating and seeking the Lord. But she's travels around to all these events and witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So she's on the road for Jesus. And that's the important thing is whatever you're doing today, do something for the Lord. Share the gospel with someone, some way, somehow. And that's what we try to do here at Prophetic News. So we're coming up with some good programs in the future. And like I said, if you have any tips or you have any information that you'd like to pass along to me, just email me, Susan@propheticnews.com, and I'll be looking for that. And I'm just finishing up. Yes, I did write a book. I was requested actually to write a book by a small publishing company. And so I've been working on it for over a year, and it's just about finished. And hopefully within the next few weeks, it'll be coming out. And the title is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And the subtitle is How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. So it's going to be about 250 pages or so. And we hope for it to be a testimony to your friends and to other people. I like what my friend Jackie Alnor said about writing books, is that we document history. You can document a time in history by writing it down, and it'll be available for future generations after I'm gone. And so I know that in my life I've appreciated books very much. So I appreciate your prayers in that for the completion of this book and that it will minister to many, many people. So God bless you today. Remember, the most important thing today is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask him to come into your life, to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession for you. And Jesus said in the third chapter of John, and you can read it yourself, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, of water, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read also the book of Romans today. And the book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess for yourself. It's not enough that you were born into a Christian family, or you were baptized when you were a baby or whatever. You have to make that decision for yourself to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask him to forgive you of your sins. Because I know some people say, well, I'm a good person. Well, you're not good enough. None of us are good enough. We're not good enough to save ourselves. That's why God had to send a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And he will forgive you of your sins. He will give you a brand new life, a life of peace that you cannot buy, a life of joy that you cannot buy. And he'll make all things beautiful in its time. I guarantee you that. You will be a lot happier. You won't need that marijuana. You won't need those pills. You won't need that highball or whatever else you're involved in that's not making you happy. Jesus Christ can give you joy and peace because he is the Prince of Peace. So God bless you today. Thanks, everybody that tuned in. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Don't forget to check out, I see Brother Vince there and his radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, Truth Sharks. And check out my friend, the Wolf Tracker, on Blog Talk Radio. And my friend Jackie Alnor, Rapture Ready Radio. Those are three programs that I would definitely recommend. Okay? God bless you. Bye bye.
Hey, record. Here we go. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. My ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow.